The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Good morning and hello. Welcome, whatever time of day it is and wherever you are checking in from in the whole wide world. Welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. I am your co-host, Misty Young, with my co-host, very close friend and shenanigan collaborator.
We get into trouble.
Dang. This is Sherry Carey Baum, Nurse Sherry, as I like to call her. And we are coming to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway of the Pacific Northwest. This is about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S., the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and truly the nicest people you'll ever meet. I like to say this is the place where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea. Harbor and Brookings is home to me and to Sherry.
Yes,
it is. It's such a cool little place.
Oh, it's so beautiful. So grateful that we get to live here.
I agree. It's wonderful. Now, before we get started talking about nutrition and what we're going to talk about today is a fascinating topic. But before we do that, let's give a big round of applause and thank you to the KCIW sound engineering and production crew. These folks are the folks that behind the scenes, whether they're working on production or on the board of directors or out in the community, helping KCIW be a name and a brand and an organization that you can trust to bring you quality programming, no matter what they're doing it without pay, they're doing it for the love of radio. So we really appreciate them.
Absolutely.
Now today, dun dun dun! We're going to talk about strokes and stroke prevention.
Ooh, guys, strokes scare me.
Yeah.
They're a scary thing.
Yeah, they really are. Now, you know, if you've listened to this show for any time at all, that I am not a scientist nor a doctor. I am a nutrition geek, and I hold a nutritional therapist certificate from the Health Sciences Academy and a plant-based nutrition certificate from E. Cornell's T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. Now, T. Colin Campbell is kind of the modern father, if you will, of the whole food plant-based movement. The guy is 86 years old these days.
He's a grandfather.
Yeah, he's the modern grandfather of the whole food plant-based movement.
He has been doing it since, what, 60s and 70s,
oh, yeah,
right?
long time.
Let's give him the title of grandpa.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Now, even though he's been around forever and he's still teaching this stuff, and at 86 years old, he's not sick.
Nope.
He's well.
Nope.
He's still working. He's pretty amazing. Now, you are, on the other hand, a geek. You're a nutrition geek.
Oh,
you're a nutrition nerd.
You were going to call me old. I was getting ready.
No. I'm not going to call you old. I'm going to tell it like it is. You're a scientist. You're a medical professional. You hold a Master of Science in Nursing. You've been in clinical practice for decades, and you've helped people worldwide, literally, to improve their health. So before we say even one more thing, thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. It's been a wonderful journey. It's always been a pleasure and a passion of mine to work with health and basically people. Trying to heal people.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
I'm lucky I found that passion.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. And someday I'd like to tell the story of why you got into nursing. I'd love to see if we can talk about that story at some point.
Ooh, it goes back to a very mean nun.
I know. I remember you telling me it goes back to a mean nun who said something rude to you or something. And you were like, oh, I could do better than that.
She was mean to me. And I thought, oh, don't be mean to your patients.
Right.
They're scared and they don't know what to do. I was really young. And she yelled at me. And I was like, But you're not.
And I'm a kid. What are you doing? Well, I don't know if you were a kid, but you were a very young person.
I was a very young 19-year-old, let me tell you.
Well, here we go to talk about, and before I go into what we're going to talk about, you are not only hold a Master of Science in Nursing, and you have, in fact, taught and helped and delivered healthcare worldwide, but you're also a plant-based nutrition geek like myself. You also hold a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. You're also currently involved in a whole food plant-based chef certification program.
So much fun.
Do you love it?
Oh my gosh. It's so much fun. So basically what I'm learning how to do is cook properly like a chef. And the tricky part is, as you know, with whole food plant-based, you don't use soil.
Right, no right. oil.
So you learn how to dry saute, learn how to cut things all up not cutting your fingers in there.
Excellent.
Too.
That's a good idea.
I've been having so much fun. I really have. It's a special program put out by Forks Over Knives. So it really is a cooking class specifically made for people who want to eat whole food plant-based.
Nice. You know, and Forks Over Knives is a good organization who started with a movie. Didn't they start with a movie called Forks Over Knives? And that's really all about using your fork instead of a knife to chop up a dismembered corpse to eat.
Yeah. Now that's a bit graphic, but yes,
but
it is. And it's just about honoring nature, animals, and then yourself through what you eat.
And then learning how to cook that way, you know, learning how to properly cut vegetables. I mean, there is a difference between slice, dice, and chop, right?
Yes, there is.
And you're learning all of that stuff. And julienne.
Yes, I am learning about all those things. It's been great fun. It's a fun hobby because you also learn how to develop flavors. And the biggest complaint we get about whole food plant-based is they say, oh my God, all you do is eat salads. It's like,
no, there's so much more than that. Yeah.
And learning how to just really develop those flavors and cook well and visually cook beautifully. Because that's important.
Presentation's critical.
First.
Yes.
That's why I don't understand. I'm going to regress a tiny bit. But that's why I don't understand why people like brown meat.
It's not very pretty.
It's not pretty at all.
Yeah.
It's just like brown, or if you get it medium rare, then it's kind of bleeding on
you. Ew, gross.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But I've never found that eye appealing versus a red bell pepper and a green bell pepper, orange and a bright green kale salad.
Yeah.
Avocado and tomatoes and radishes. All those colors just make your mouth water, which... Pardon me, I'm drooling.
You know, you have a garden at your house, and your garden inspired me to plant a garden a few months ago. And the climate, the microclimate at your house is very different from the little microclimate at mine. I'm not going to say that my garden is like, yay, going crazy wild.
It's okay, you're a beginner.
I'm a beginner, and I'm being kind, and it is. But I do know that right here where I'm at, it's often foggier, it's a little cooler. And so next year when I plant the garden, two things I'm going to do differently. One, I'm going to very carefully choose what goes in there. And one of the things I know that's going to go in there for sure is kale. You have recommended to me kale.
So much kale and collard greens, spinach, lettuce, because we really do have a cooler environment than most.
I mean, yeah.
Those are crops that in Southern California, I only did in the winter.
Oh, no.
And now I can do them all year round.
All year round.
Talk about microclimates. I mean, you're right on the beach.
But right.
I'm usually 10 degrees colder than you
because
of all my trees.
Right. And I was thinking you were warmer because you're up and off the beach. But
some people higher up are, but we're surrounded by the trees. So really, truly, if you came to my garden and you said, oh, where are your tomatoes? I'm going to point to a little corner on this side. And oh, where's your lettuce? Oh, it's over on this side.
Yes,
every area that I could access that had the best sun, I was chasing.
I love it. Well, you know, getting kale into the garden, I think, is going to be important. I've always kind of been like a, I don't like kale kind of a person. And I've realized
maybe
that's kind of stupid.
Had it cooked well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to need to, I'm going to invite myself over to your house for dinner or lunch or something. we'll go pick some kale and eat it. I know how nutritionally important kale is. And I know how nutritionally important sweet potatoes are.
Yeah.
And for whole food plant-based people, those are two pretty much big staples, and I've always kind of eschewed them. So those are two things I'm considering putting in my garden next year for sure. And I also want you to know, because we kind of started this little piece by saying most people think that whole food plant-based is, oh, you just eat a lot of salads. Well, you do eat a lot of salads when you want them, if you want them. I love salads. I eat
salads
almost daily.
We don't eat as many salads as we do greens and stir-fried vegetables,
especially
now that I've taken my class, because it has homework.
So you have to cook certain things.
I have been dicing and slicing, and for some reason, they're really focused on zucchini, which is not my favorite vegetable, but dang, we've been eating a lot of zucchini.
Awesome.
Carrots and celery.
Well, yesterday, went out into the garden, and I harvested a little bit of broccoli, the leftovers, because I made...
Oh, I have broccoli, too.
You do in your garden?
I'm going to harvest
it
today.
Oh, we had broccoli, we had red lettuce, and we had... I took a big red cabbage. I grew a red cabbage
and I got
it out of the garden.
I love red cabbage.
Yeah. So we had that in a salad yesterday and it was phenomenal. It was so good. In fact, while we talk, I would like to show you a picture of that. And as I'm digging up that picture, you know, one of the other things that you do that I think is so amazing is that you're currently studying for accreditation from the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. So you, what I love so much about you is you don't stop learning. You keep, you keep going at it, you know?
I do. And, you know, sometimes I think it's a personality disorder.
Look at that salad. Is that not beautiful?
It's got so many beautiful colors.
I know. It's got red lettuce and red cabbage, and it's got those beautiful, beautiful, well, the broccoli chunks. And then, of course, I like hot stuff on cold salad. So I took some corn and I just, you know, fresh, organic, yummy corn, and I steamed it up and I just threw that hot corn right on the salad. It was amazing. So.
Well, and remember, all those beautiful colors. The reason as humans that we're really attracted to the bright, beautiful colors is because they carry the most nutrients.
Yeah.
So when I go back to why do people like the look of a brown steak, I mean, it's just so interesting how you're drawn to it. Now, am I perfect? No. Have I eaten red meat 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago?
Yes. Sure, yep.
Yep, absolutely. But once you get away from it, that's when you go, maybe not my favorite choice anymore.
It is funny how when, you know, whatever it is that you're doing in life that you wonder at a time when you're doing it, you wonder, well, can I do better? Is this the right thing? You wonder these things, right? Whether, no matter what it is, whether you're drinking too much or even drinking at all, I don't know,
smoking
or smoking at all or smoking sometimes or gambling. I mean, there are little things that we all kind of intrinsically know. I think, maybe if I didn't do this, I'd feel better or I'd be better. In fact, my bank account would be better, right? I saw a post on Facebook a couple days ago from a longtime friend. I've known this guy probably 35 years, and he just posted out of nowhere. He said, hey, today is day 30 of no alcohol. No, for a reason. I just feel better. Yeah. Isn't that great?
That's so nice. We're never on this radio show to judge people or to make them feel bad.
No.
We're just here to help people adopt a healthier lifestyle so that their life is more rewarding, more engaging,
more full, exciting, more accessible.
All those wonderful things. We like to celebrate when people choose to make better choices. And
yeah.
That one little better choice, you think about it, you sleep better when you don't drink as much. You will exercise, you have less downtime because, you know, we all know if we drink too much, the next day is pretty dang lazy.
Yeah, right.
You're going to save money.
Yep.
You're going to protect your blood vessels, your brain. I mean, there are so many benefits to changing habits that help to improve your lifestyle and support you rather than harm you.
Exactly. In fact, one of the things we talk about, and it's neat because as you're studying with the American Board, the American College for Lifestyle Medicine, one of the things we talk about a lot just between us and a phrase we've coined, we all are familiar with the acronym SAD for the Standard American Diet, and we've coined this acronym, the GLAD way of living, which is the Glowing Lifestyle American Diet. Somewhere along the line, I do too, I'd like to figure out a different word for the D, because it's not just a diet, it's a lifestyle.
Right,
and it's like what you just said, whether it's drinking or smoking or exercising or your mindset or your meditation or whatever, all of these things come together to help individuals, those people that are the most well-rounded, that are the happiest in their lives, tend to have a more well-rounded approach to their health and fitness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, even if you're not ready to make this giant leap, and you listen to us, so exercise more.
Right.
Add
little
more
changes.
Fruit and vegetables in your diet.
Yes.
Add more water to your daily water, you know, intake.
Yes.
You know, you can start out smaller. You can jump in with both feet in the deep end like we did.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. But you know, I love that you give people the permission not to beat themselves up.
Oh, please.
Right.
You know, the world is so hard all the time.
Right.
I was going to say right now, it's always hard. We're so hard on ourselves that just pat yourself on the back because you are making a change. Or, you know what? I'm even game for patting yourself on the back if you're thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I am totally down.
Because
you're
thinking about it. You're saying, you know, maybe there is some tweaks I can do in my life that improve it.
Yes.
So
maybe there's something I could do that would make me feel better or different. You know, and I like to say that different isn't always better, but better is always different.
Yeah.
It's always different.
That.
Yeah. So just, I mean, for sake of discussion, a couple of years ago, one morning I kind of woke up and said, you know, I think I could feel better if I didn't drink alcohol. And so when my friend posted that a couple days ago, I think it was just yesterday, I wrote him back. I said, that's great. Good for you. 30 days. That's awesome. And I said, you know, I did that too. I just, no reason, no downtime, no story, right. no rock bottom, nothing. Yeah. I thought I would feel better. And I said, that's almost 2 years ago now. And I just feel great.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. And the cool thing is, and this is where we'll use this as our jumping off point to talk about this fascinating topic today. The cool thing is when I made one tiny decision to make a major change in my life, and it was a tiny decision, and I didn't realize I was going to make this lifestyle change. I'm never going to drink again. I didn't really think about that. I just said, ugh, I'm so grossed out. I know what drinking feels like. I know what waking up with a hangover feels like. I think I can do better. And so one day I stopped drinking. And then it was 2 days, and then it was 10 days, and it was a month, and then it was a year, and now it's almost 2 years. But the really cool part of it is I became a light to my family.
Right.
And my daughters followed that program, and then their husbands followed that suit, and then my husband followed suit. Yep. So yeah, it's like all of a sudden, all of our family is making better decisions. And that's the same thing that happened for us with Whole Food Plant-Based Living.
Absolutely.
The whole family is following suit. So.
And friends. I mean, I have more and more friends that watch how I eat and really do kind of look at the food that I make when there's a potluck or when we have them to dinner. And they're pretty excited about it. We had some friends over this weekend from out of town. And boy, I think I've got them on board.
No way.
So he had his son. He had a 28-year-old son. And he's like, Dad, you need to do this.
Mm.
Like, yes, you do.
You know, it can't hurt you to eat more fruits.
No. Or vegetables.
Or vegetables.
Yeah. Just make half your plate. If you don't want to jump in with both feet, make half your plate fruit and vegetables. A quarter of it, either beans or rice, or a combination of beans and rice. And then that other quarter, if you want to make it lean protein, make it lean protein.
Yeah.
Animal protein.
Yeah. Make yourself a little pathway out of the foods that are hurting you and toward the foods that are attractive. They're literally attracting you.
Oh, they're beautiful.
So what
okay,
about
so let's
strokes?
Talk about strokes.
Yeah.
You know that there's actually two different kinds, but we like to bring up subjects that are in the news and issues. So stroke is actually considered one of the leading causes of disability and death in the United States and globally.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, they estimate that about 795 Americans are going to experience a stroke.
Wow.
Right. That's scary.
800,000 people. That's almost
basically
a million people. Is that every year?
Yep. And then the annual cost of stroke, when we look at it, direct and indirect, is about $33 billion.
Wow.
So there's two different kinds of stroke. One is an ischemic stroke, and that's basically, right, we're not getting any blood to the brain. Those blood vessels are clogged. They're not functioning like they used to. And then you also have the hemorrhage stroke, and that's less than 3% of strokes. Most of them are the strokes related, 87% are related to the blood flow not getting through. Ischemic, so no flow.
No flow, that's, you talk about profusion. Is that the same kind of concept,
exactly.
Profusion? So the blood's not reaching. So I have a really freaky question to ask you. I went to one of those hot yoga classes one time. this was really serious. And at the time, I was a full-on carnivore, like full-on ham, bacon, sausage every morning, turkey tacos for lunch, you know, burgers for dinner every day, every single day.
Oh, my
cheese
goodness.
On everything. Right. So I go to this yoga class. It's super hot.
Oh,
I'm sweating my buns off.
They keep it at about 100 to 105.
Oh,
I don't
gosh.
Know.
Well, it was amazing. And I worked really hard. And the bottom line is when I came out of the thing, I think I experienced a TIA, a temporal ischemic attack.
Scary.
It was terrible. It was scary. I had to stop. Everything got clouded in my vision, and I started seeing these really weird geometric shapes.
Like migraine precursors.
Yeah, I didn't have a headache, but I got these really weird geometric shapes, and then there were holes in my vision, and I literally, and I got really dizzy, and I had to just hang out for a long time.
Oh.
It was
so
weird.
Scary.
I just sat in my car for a really long time.
I'm not a fan of hot yoga. I took my daughter when she was a teenager.
Yeah.
We both went to hot yoga.
Yes.
With that, because we were doing yoga. We were strong. So we go, and all of a sudden I look over at my daughter, and she's like white. Like,
oh, no.
White. And she goes, Mommy. She only calls me Mommy when
when there's
wrong.
An issue, right, Mommy? Now I'm Mommy.
Mommy, I don't feel so good. And I'm like, Sit down now.
Right. Nurse Sherry kicks in.
Well, because she was going to pass out. And I think maybe you were going to pass out.
Maybe so.
Because it's so easy to get dehydrated. And if you're not prehydrated, you're going to really run into problems because you're not drinking a whole lot of water. You're busy having these special poses. So we literally, there were 30 people in that class.
Wow.
We literally crawled out.
Wow.
Because I was afraid that if she stood up,
she was going to crash down.
Crash down again. Yeah. And I didn't want to not crawl with her. I didn't want her to feel embarrassed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So you see these two women crawling through the glass.
I can imagine the yoga lady was like, there they go. Wait, and there goes two more. Oh, my goodness.
Yep, never going again.
I never went back again after that experience.
You know, I know people do love it. And I love saunas and, you know, steam baths. So I like getting that hot. It was just. Didn't work for my daughter.
Well, it's too much with the exertion. I'm with you. Right. I love saunas and steam baths. In fact, Gary and I often take vacations in Palm Springs at the height of summer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and a couple of years ago, we pulled into town, and I have a picture on my phone of the temperature gauge in the truck saying it's 128 degrees outside. Right.
Holy
and I was like, yay, it's 128. And we had, here we go, true confession. We had these naked happy hours every afternoon. We had this great kind of pulled in, hidden away deck on the upper level that it was all shaded by trees. We just go out there and sit naked and sweat and drink beer.
So basically, awesome. You had your own sauna.
Had my own sauna, right. It and no exertion required, so no strokes or TIAs or anything. But all kidding aside, you know, when you're talking about an intra cerebral hemorrhage, is that's called a hemorrhagic stroke, right? That's
right.
Like
that's
when you're bleeding in your brain.
Blood vessel actually breaks.
So it actually breaks. So there's kind of two extremes. One is no blood and the other is too much blood in a certain spot.
Well, not really too much blood. You just have a damaged vessel.
A damaged vessel. And in either case, can you end up with the same kind of, like people will say if one side of your mouth is kind of hanging or your body's not working or you can't speak or something, are those the symptoms?
It's affecting your brain. It's affecting that perfusion to that part of the brain.
And so if it happens on the right side of your brain, is your left side affected?
Typically, but, you know, everything's so helter-skelter.
Well, I'm just thinking about that crisscross thingy where your brain crisscross thingies over one side to the other, the hemispheric things.
Pretty exciting. You know, I mean, that's fun to think about it, but the whole bottom line is, we don't want them.
No. And what causes strokes? I mean, where do they come from?
Well, you've got a bunch of risk factors. So if 87% of strokes are due to lack of blood supply, the blood vessels just aren't supplying the brain with what it needs, which is oxygen as well as glucose. You know, our brains use a lot of glucose.
Right. Our brains use like 25% of our power, right? Or something.
Right,
yeah.
Right. The majority of it. And then I want you to think about the complications that can happen with diabetes or high blood pressure, narrowing of those vessels. So basically, the risk factors, the number one risk factor is hypertension, high blood pressure. When you have high blood pressure, that's the number one risk factor for increasing your risk for stroke.
No kidding. And you think about how many people in our world have high blood pressure.
But it makes sense, right? Because if your blood vessels are narrowing, either they're stenotic or they're narrowing, and the heart really has to push to get the blood through, we know that those blood vessels are very tiny, just like in the kidneys. So you really do worry about them closing off, not perfusing well.
When you say stenotic, does that mean stiff?
Yes,
is
I'm
that
sorry.
The, that's okay. I mean, you're the nurse, you know, like, I don't know, but I'm guessing. So not flexible, not movable.
Yeah.
And you want your blood vessels to be kind of elastic, right?
Right.
Stretch
because
and
if
move.
You think about what happens when you have stress. You have that flight reaction, whether it's because you're nervous or it's because you're running or whatever. Your body has to be able to pump blood to where it needs to go. So those vessels, sometimes more goes to one area, less goes to another. How do you do that? They restrict. I mean, the body's a crazy, amazing
device. It is so amazing. It is so amazing.
It's such a miracle.
It's so amazing when we know what we can do and how to treat it in a way that it can serve us the best. You know, you go back to that kind of religious idea. And I'm not a religious person, even though if you look around my house, you see all these religious texts and, you know, stuff. I'm always learning.
It's all connected.
But I love this idea that the body is your temple, right?
It is.
And you wouldn't take a poop in the middle of a temple. You wouldn't do that. Nobody would do that. And yet we kind of put poopy stuff into our bodies all the time.
I'm like, what the heck?
Where is she going to go with this? When you think about, you know, you walk through the grocery store.
Well, you're putting poison. You're putting
right.
Plastics.
People yeah. don't stand a chance.
No, they
I'm
don't.
Just, I'm blown away. People don't stand a chance. You walk through the grocery store and everything is, you know, junk and poison and high salt and sugar and preservatives.
Out of their way to trick us, right?
Right.
I mean, we already talked about the Starbucks breakfast
sandwich.
Right?
The plant
breakfast.
Their new plant-based breakfast sandwich, right?
Which has got egg, cheese, and a Beyond sausage patty
or something. But does it have actual, so it doesn't have any meat in it, but it still has eggs and cheese in it.
Right. So it's not.
Oh, come
on. Not that. But what I love is I told this to a friend of mine and she looked it up and it has 430 calories and it also has 40% of your daily saturated fat and 63% of your cholesterol. And it's plant-based.
Wow.
They're calling it plant-based.
Right.
How can you
do that?
Deceive the public so bad? Because when you say we have a plant-based sausage muffin for you, you think and you trust
you think it's
the
healthier
to help you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You really do.
Right.
And I'm just getting a little bit tired of them manipulating us for profit. And that's
yeah.
what it's about. And this
right.
whole thing between whole food plant-based and plant-based drives me crazy.
Right.
Because we're tricking the public. We're tricking the public. They think they're taking good care of themselves.
But they're being misled.
Well, plant-based is full of oil, right?
Yep.
Remember, we've talked about read your label, learn
right.
the ingredients.
Yes.
With a whole food plant-based diet,
right.
you don't add oil. You eat avocados,
right.
you eat olives,
yes.
you eat nuts, but you're not
right.
pouring oil on everything. And oil has no nutrient value. It is pure fat.
Pure calories. And, you know, going back to this thing that I've had this huge revelation over again and again, it's not just that it's pure fat and pure calories. It is a purely inflammatory substance.
Oh,
so
yeah.
when it goes into your body, all it does is inflame. It adds
right.
no beneficial effect
right.
whatsoever. It only harms you.
So plant-based, right? They're not hurting animals, so that's bonus.
Bonus.
But if you're eating plant-based for your health, you're probably not doing a lot for your health. I mean, a lot of coconut oil is in all the plant-based cheeses.
Right.
Right? Saturated
coconut
fat,
oil, palm
right?
oil,
just
all
like
that
dairy,
stuff.
Dairy,
yes.
saturated fat.
Yep. Right.
So it frustrates me because people are trying. They're trying to take care of their health and their family, and they're being manipulated by big industry. So you want to find products that don't have ingredients, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, beans, rice.
Yes.
Or you're going to turn over the label and what
and
are the
read
ingredients?
It.
I mean, I eat whole wheat pasta. The
yep.
two ingredients are whole wheat and salt.
Right.
A smidgen of salt.
That's it.
There's no oil. I
yep.
think there's water too.
Yeah.
But that's it. There's no chemicals. There's no fat. Look at your peanut butter. Okay, I'm ranting. I am so sorry,
it's okay.
you guys.
You're allowed to rant. It's your
every
show.
Once
rant.
In a while,
you're
I
allowed.
Rant. I know. I'm not a big ranter, but every once in a while. Peanut butter, right? Okay, peanut butter is a great whole food plant-based snack
right.
or lunch.
Right, or
whatever.
Whatever yeah.
you want with it. But read the label.
Yeah.
They're putting palm oil, which is saturated fat
right.
in it. They're putting sugar in it. The only ingredients in your peanut butter should be
peanuts.
And maybe a little bit of salt.
Right. Yep.
That's it. I get so frustrated because there are certain brands that we all think of as healthy,
uh-huh.
organic, good for you. And you turn it over and you go, well, why do they need palm oil?
And
peanut butter, it's already got peanut
right,
oil.
Right.
Know, whole food peanut oils.
Right.
From the actual peanut being mashed.
Right. Well, now here's the crazy thing. So people
Sorry.
Listening in on the show might say, well, you know, you just went through this whole rant about how oil is not good. And now you're saying peanut oil is good. But what I really want you to hear that Nurse Sherry is saying, she's not saying peanut oil is good. She's saying peanuts are good.
Right. And when
mashed
you
up peanuts.
Up,
yes.
There's a natural fat in there that you chew, your body accesses that fat.
That's right.
It's not pure peanut oil.
Right, you're not drinking peanut oil.
You're getting nutrients, you're getting protein.
You're getting the fiber. You're getting all the beneficial stuff of the peanut. What I think is happening in the palm oil addition is that people get grossed out when they look at peanut butter that has separated. Right. So you think about
pour off the oil.
Right. Pour off the oil. Exactly. Pour
That's
it off.
What I do, or just mix it up. Yeah. Whatever you need to do. But yeah. I mean, oh come on. Oh
right.
My goodness. Oh my
gosh.
Personality
right.
is coming out.
Here we go. That's all right. You're allowed to have a personality. Well, the palm oil in there keeps everything together, right? I mean, like I was reading some articles this morning.
Right. It's an additive so that it's
it spreads
smooth.
Easy and it's smoother. Right. Yeah,
I mean,
all that stuff.
How hard is your life that you can't get a knife to smooth out peanut butter?
Come on. Come on now. Come on. Well, yeah, I'm down with you on that. And I know that we are currently a society of convenience. We're currently a society of habits, which I think all societies are societies of habits.
Right.
But the habits of our grandparents were a lot different, or great-grandparents even, than us, right? We walk down the supermarket aisle. And we pick this and we pick that and we walk out with a grocery cart of $200 worth of a lot of junk, where our great-grandparents were walking out into the garden and they were bringing a basket and they were picking whole foods out of the garden, bringing them back in. They were making their own breads. If they had peanuts, yay, verily, they would make some peanut butter maybe. They didn't just eat it all day, every day, and they weren't obese like we are. These foods are obesogenic. And I'm curious, does obesity cause a role in stroke or in stroke prevention?
Absolutely.
It
absolutely.
Does.
And you know, everything is tied together. There's not one isolating fact. And if you've noticed, like if you're taking notes every time we show up on the radio, and you've got, okay, these are the risk factors, right?
Right. It's the same thing over and over.
Identically the same things. It, you know, it kind of drives me crazy because they don't seem to change. And that's why a whole food, plant-based lifestyle makes so much improvement. People don't realize it. They think, oh, you're just full of stuff. You know, you're just a fibber.
Yeah, right. But you're so not a fibber. Like,
not a fibber.
You know, if high blood pressure, or if obesity drives high blood pressure and high blood pressure drives strokes, then we got to see that food is the driver of obesity.
Absolutely.
Right? And if we know that, for example, liver cancer is driven by saturated fat and high levels of salt and high levels of sugar and preservatives.
And toxins
and all kinds of other stuff, then we have to look at what's going in our mouth that contains those things. Because
it is true.
In most cases, the air we're breathing isn't full of saturated fat, high salt, high sugar, or, you know, other toxins, you bet.
You betcha. But not those, not fat, not high levels of glucose and simple sugars, simple carbs, nope. Nope,
you
not
know,
unless it's raining rice.
It's
raining. White rice, no less.
Or it's raining men. Isn't there a song, It's Raining Men? You know, like. I'm curious. Someone posted the other day on Facebook, I saw it. This is someone I love, someone in my family, actually. And she said, ironically, I was reaching for my workout gear and I pulled my back. So I'm laying on my back. I'm full of a leave and my toes are now numb. And what would you recommend? And I literally wrote in there, it's never too late to start adding fruits and vegetables. All the animal products in your body are inflammatory. So if you were to swap out the inflammation causing products with fruits and vegetables, but people don't think fruits and vegetables are a healing modality in the moment, but they are. Is it true or not?
Absolutely. And some of the biggest culprits in joint pain and all of that is dairy. We know there's a connection between arthritis and dairy.
Yes.
So cutting out dairy, cutting out all those products, cheese, yogurt.
Sour cream, ice cream, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, ice cream. Gosh, it's been so long since I've eaten ice cream.
I smelled some recently and it grossed me out.
Hey, I found a recipe. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sideline.
Yeah.
Double dark chocolate cake in the Instapot.
What?
Yep,
oh
yep.
My
god. Got to try to make that one.
Whole food plant-based, no doubt.
Of course,
what's the basic ingredients? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Cocoa, almond flour, you know. I think they used maple syrup.
Maple syrup. Uh-huh. Maybe some flax to give it some puff.
Oh, definitely flax. A little bit of baking soda, baking powder, flaxseed.
Oh, my God.
Almond milk. Yeah,
I will try that. Yeah, that sounds great.
A little bit of almond butter as well as almond flour.
And in the Instant Pot, this would not be a pressure cooker recipe, right?
Yeah, or is it?
It's an actual pressure cooker recipe?
So you could do it in 4 minutes.
Wow. I'm down with that. I can't wait to try that.
You and me both. I'm like, I got to get that Instant Pot pan. I'm on Amazon going, I need an Instant Pot pan.
Did you do it? Yeah. Hurry, get it right away.
Nothing comes here right away.
I know. But you know what's really interesting is when you learn to cook whole food plant-based, the number of tools that you can have new access to. For me, I'm kind of a tool person. I dig tools. I love kitchen stuff too. And I'm curious, you're learning some new things. You're learning new techniques with your Forks Over Knives class that you're taking. What have become kind of your go-to tools that are different than maybe they used to be?
You know, one of the most interesting things is learning how to properly use your knives.
Yeah.
And I have to say, my chef knife never really came out. I always use these tiny little paring knives
and all that.
Everything I do now is with the chef knife.
Right. So that's really huge. Big, thick blade, long, pointy one, right?
That's the long, pointy one. Yeah. And to learn how to use that properly, I've used a lot. That's probably the main tool I use right now.
That's awesome. Now, you told me a while ago that your knives were super sharp. Your kids got you some knives. No. They were terribly sharp.
I have not cut myself.
Good job.
Since I've taken the class.
Nice. Okay. Since you've taken the class. Okay.
I had these knives for 2 years. And every time I brought them out, I cut myself. So I was like, well, they're pretty.
Yeah. And they're pretty unused.
I'll use them when the kids come, but now I use them constantly, yeah.
Did the knife set come with a sharpener?
No, but I just bought one.
You just bought one, and have you sharpened any knives yet?
Yes, because that was one of my cooking lessons.
That was a lesson, yeah. Can I get that lesson from you?
Oh, absolutely. I'll bring it over. We'll play. I'll show you how to cut food without cutting your fingers.
That would be great.
That's a really good lesson.
Yeah, that would be great. I don't cut myself too much, but I do use big knives most of the time.
Oh, so you're a step ahead of me.
No, it's a restaurant experience. You know, I mean, I've been a restaurant owner for the last 17 or 18 years. And so I've had a lot of experience with the big chef knives. And oh my God, wait to hear this. There was this one guy who worked in one of our kitchens who used to do, you know, he would take the avocado. This freaked me out, right? He'd take the avocado, he'd cut a circle around the outside edge, just kind of like rest the knife up against the seed. And now the avocado is, he'd take it in two halves. I never saw this until I tried it on my own, right? He takes the avocado part with the seed in his hand and he pulls the knife and he goes chop toward
the
avocado.
You take it out. Scary, isn't it?
You don't do it with the avocado in your hand. Come on now. And that's the part that freaked me out. When I did it myself, I was like, I watched Jose do it and he was like, oh, yeah, you do this. And he has the avocado in his hand and he's hammering a knife toward his hand with the avocado seed. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So the first time I try it, I'm like, I do it and I'm like, oh my God! Like the worst possible thing you could do is hammer at your hand toward your hand with that. So yeah, I lay the avocado on the table and I whack it with the knife.
Well, that's safer.
It's way safer.
But I do it the way you
do it. I'm going to beg you not to do that in the future. I mean, what if you just slip the slightest bit and that thing just slides right off and just chops your hand?
Then I go to the emergency room.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. It's your choice.
No, I've always done it. I've done that because I saw it somewhere.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it too, and I'm creeped out by it. Yeah. So yeah, I put it on the counter.
Avocados are really good for you.
They're so healthy.
They're so healthy.
Are they preventive for strokes?
Well, let's talk about our risk factors. Did we go over those? I think we got diverted.
We kind of got diverted on risk factors.
We did.
Talk to me a little bit about risk factors.
Risk factors are high blood pressure.
Yep.
Diabetes, high cholesterol. Smoking, physical inactivity, not exercising, poor nutrition. There is some history of family history. Tweak it out. Is it genetic? Is it not genetic? Is it family history of what you put in your mouth?
Right.
Who knows?
Yep.
Kidney disease, heart disease, sleep apnea, and depression. Now, as we go through that list, pretty much applies to everything else.
Yeah.
Right? Especially heart disease. But when you think about it, if someone's had a stroke, and it's the most common, which is the one that lacks perfusion.
Right.
Again, we're talking about an issue with our blood vessels. And that's the same thing with heart disease, right?
Right.
We have obstruction or we have stiffening of the blood vessels. So blood doesn't get through as well as it used to. So now we've told you the bad news.
Right.
So
what's the good news? Is there good news?
Well, no, let's keep talking about bad news for a tiny bit.
More bad news?
No. Just foods that you really want to avoid to help reduce your risk for stroke. Because we do say that, yep, there are some diseases that there's a genetic link. Don't turn on that gene.
Right.
Don't say, my mom had a stroke.
So I'm going to have a stroke.
You know, my dad had diabetes. He died from a heart attack. So
I'm going to have it. Right.
Right.
People get this fatalistic view about it. Just like, oh, well, it runs in my family.
Right. It's in my genes. I always like that. It's in my genes.
Yeah.
It's in your, as you've said, your blue genes.
Right. Well, I like to say it's not in your genes. It's in your Jimmy Deans, you know, right? It's not in your ancestors. It's in your anchovies. Yeah.
So what I want to say is, let's not buy into that. Because
yes.
We know we can turn on and off the expression of genes.
Right.
So why aren't we as a population, as a people, why aren't we saying enough? I don't want to turn on that gene.
I don't
want to turn on that gene for stroke, for diabetes, for heart disease. I want to do whatever I can to keep that a mute gene.
Right. Keep
it
so.
Yeah,
it's very nice.
Listen to me. I'm like, isn't that a nice
way to do it? It's a super nice way to do it. You get to choose it. I mean,
yep.
That's the thing. Does this mean that every whole food plant-based person on the planet is never, ever, ever going to have heart disease or high blood pressure or obesity? It doesn't mean that. But what it means is if you have the choice to prevent it 90 to 97% of the time, wouldn't you?
Why don't you?
Right.
And if it's not even for yourself, for your family.
Yeah. The people that love and adore you.
Yeah.
You know, I saw something recently that said genes are kind of like little taxi cabs, all waiting in a row, performing their little function. They're just waiting. They're ready. They're ready to carry their passengers, but they don't physically do anything on their own. They wait for instruction. They wait for a driver and fuel. And so the driver and the fuel for genetic expression or genetic action is food. It's food compounds and food chemicals that go into your body. And those compounds are what are the gene drivers.
Right.
Kind of an interesting way to look at it.
Let's not call that Uber.
So let's not drive the genetic Uber today. Nice.
So foods to avoid.
Yes.
Okay. High cholesterol foods, oh my, that would be animal-based foods, right?
Yep.
Salty foods, because again, a very high salt content causes damage to your blood vessels.
Yes, right? That leads to high blood pressure.
Vessels, so it increases your risk. Dairy, we know that dairy has been shown to increase our risk. Meat, which is basically animal-based foods.
Yes.
The one I found that was really interesting was diet soda. The American Stroke Association did a study that showed that people who drink just one diet soda a day may increase their risk by 48%.
Who knew? What?
Are you guys glad I do my homework?
I am. I'm so glad you do your homework. Thank you.
Well, I don't even like diet soda. I don't like soda pop.
Yeah, I don't either.
But, you know, I've always wondered, soda pop is so vague because you honestly, what the heck is in there?
Oh, yeah, it's a chemical cocktail.
It's like nothing natural.
Right. I mean, well, there's water at the very base of it, right? You would guess.
The volume is water, I know.
Right, yes. But then what flavors it? What colors it? What is it that's giving
chemicals.
It all that fizzy, yummy?
Oh, I don't find it yummy, but yep.
But it hurts you.
It hurts you bad.
Will you tell me that statistic again? What did you just say about diet soda?
This is from the American Stroke Association's International Stroke Conference. Showed that people who drink just one diet soda a day, it can increase their risk for stroke by 48%.
Wow.
So
that's
crazy. That diet soda. Besides that, it's costly. Don't spend your money on soda pop.
Right.
Spend your money on an apple or a banana or fruit or cantaloupe.
Yeah.
All those lovely things.
Grapes. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So now the good part.
What
do we do to help reduce our risk and avoid it? Now, oh my gosh, it applies to everything.
It's the same thing.
I'm sure everybody's rolling their eyes. Like, oh my gosh.
Here we go again.
Does she just repeat the list? No, I don't. I research this
stuff.
So it's not the same list, guys, but it sounds like it.
Well, it's the same common denominator to human injury and illness in this chronic illness age in which we live. The same common denominator. And what is it?
Bad food.
That's right.
Bad food. So, how do you avoid a stroke? Nuts. We know that nuts are great for you. Now, if you've been looking at the news, unfortunately, There's some ads that say, if you don't eat eggs, you're at higher risk for stroke.
Please.
And what is it they're teasing out of the egg? It's called choline.
Yeah.
Right? So we know you need choline for your brain. We know you need fat. We know you need glucose. But mm-hmm. what kind of fat are you going to power your brain with?
Mm-hmm. How about omega-3s?
Omega-3s? Nuts. Nuts are wonderful. The other things that have lovely choline is quinoa.
Oh, yeah. Quinoa.
Easy, cheap.
Yep.
Goes in a salad.
Super accessible. You can find quinoa everywhere now.
Everywhere.
And that's spelled just so those people who are like, what is that? People are talking about it. It's Q-U-I-N-O-A.
Yep.
Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Yeah, quinoa. So why would we recommend something like quinoa? Because it's easily accessible. And not only does it bring you a tremendous amount of the right amounts of fat, it's highly fibrous, right?
And high in protein.
So it's a superfood.
It's just a superfood, really.
It's just a superfood, yeah.
And it has choline for your brain.
Yeah.
Beans. I mean, come on. Beans are inexpensive, easy to cook, delicious. You can add them to any recipe.
Yes.
Pretty much. I mean, soups, stews.
Yeah. Burritos.
Burritos.
You know, I'm a burrito girl.
Tacos.
Tacos, yeah.
Stuff them in every... Last
you can make meatloaf out of beans, burger patties, yeah.
I mean, brown rice and beans, because for this cooking class... To learn how to flip food, they made you use rice and beans.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, you
could learn how to do your flipping.
When you fail.
You're not failing, though. You're doing great in the class, aren't you? I'm guessing.
Well, you know, I'm an overachiever.
Yeah.
But I practice a lot. So it was this huge combination of rice and beans. And what I've learned recently is sometimes we worry about arsenic, natural arsenic in rice, brown rice. So anyway. Long story short, I've got this whole pan of beans and rice that I'm flipping. And another thing a lot of people don't know about me is I'm cheap. Frugal. Is the term I like. It's much more...
Budget conscious.
Much prettier than cheap.
Yes, than cheap.
So I'm not throwing out those rice and beans.
No, heck no.
And you know, if you soak beans, you digest them easier.
Yes.
Right? So I found out that you can soak rice at the same time. So I didn't have to go in there and pick out every little rice. And when you soak rice and then you drain it, it gets rid of a lot of the arsenic.
Oh, wow.
The naturally occurring arsenic in
Rice. So
soil.
you can take rice and soak it, then drain it before you cook it. Same way as you do with beans.
And so what I did is I mixed my rice and beans together and soaked them for 24 hours, rinsed them off, and cooked them, and it was delicious.
Oh,
my gosh. I had onions and zucchini because that's one of my homeworks, too.
Right. So you can cook the rice and beans together, and do you cook them in the Instant Pot?
I did.
And you can cook them together at the same time. That's awesome.
That way I didn't have to pick out the two of them.
Oh, yeah. I can't even fathom the idea of picking out the rice and beans from each other. No.
You know me well enough to know I probably would have tried.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
So what we're talking about also, those are where you can get your choline for your brain. Because you need fat. You need choline. You need all those things for a good, healthy brain. So you can get them from nuts. The other thing we want you to eat, and we talk about all the time, are greens. They're really protective, and a Harvard study said that you can get a 20% reduction of risk for strokes as well as heart disease if you're eating an additional one serving of greens a day. So we're
talking
spinach,
serving.
Kale, collard greens.
Does romaine count?
Oh, I don't think so, baby.
Oh, because you know,
cabbage
would count. Cruciferous, yeah. But I mean, if romaine counts, that's awesome. And that's why I have to get into kale, you know.
Just put kale in your salad.
All right.
You can steam it or you can massage it with a little bit of avocado. So you get a piece of avocado, dice up all your kale, and then just massage it. And it makes it softer. It makes it more lettuce-like.
Yes.
It's really good for you.
You know what? The next time I see you, which hopefully is tomorrow. Will you bring some kale? Do you have kale in your garden?
Yeah,
is it ready right now?
Collard greens. Too.
Okay.
I love collard greens.
I want to try.
For replacing lettuce sometimes. Or not lettuce, I'm sorry.
Bread. Right? To make little wraps and stuff. Yeah.
I make collard green wraps. Chocolate. Now, I'm not talking Hershey's. I'm not talking milk chocolate.
Right.
I'm talking the high quality
dark chocolate. Yeah.
And you don't want a whole lot. Citrus. Who knew that citrus can reduce stroke risk? So your oranges, your tangerines, lemon juice, lime juice, all those things really do make a difference. Whole grains. Yep. We talk about whole grains all the time. And when I say whole grains, that's not white rice.
Right.
That's
quinoa, brown rice, quinoa.
Brown,
yep.
Oatmeal, oat groats.
Uh-huh. Buckwheat. Right?
Buckwheat,
yep.
Farro.
Mm-hmm.
Really a lot of choices.
And you know, it's weird. Most people, I think most folks aren't really aware of the vast varieties of whole grains
right.
that are out there. We get kind of stuck, don't we? We're like,
we
well, whole grains, that means 100% whole grain wheat bread, right? Like, that's what we think.
Right.
I'm just telling you, I'm a pretty regular person. I'm pretty average. And so when
TMI,
I know. But when we talk about whole grains, I often think, oh, well, that means my bread. But you've introduced me to whole grain spaghetti, whole grain pasta.
Yeah. Love that.
Right? So spaghettis and pastas. And then not just the brown rice, but the quinoa. Quinoa
right.
is fantastic. And you
barley.
Do have to rinse it. You do have to rinse
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you should rinse all of them.
Yeah.
But you don't have to soak it.
Well, guess what else is a whole grain? And people don't think about this. Oatmeal's a freaking grain.
Yeah.
And it's a whole
yeah.
grain. Guess what else
daily.
Is a grain that's amazing and a whole grain at that? Corn!
Oh, that's true.
I know.
I don't think, that
I don't think people eat enough corn. But corn
yeah.
tortillas are good. But how about actual corn? You know, like
yeah.
get the corn and chew it really good. I mean, I've heard some people say, oh, you should never eat corn. Your body doesn't digest it. It just goes right through you. Don't you see it in the toilet?
Are they
like,
not chewing?
Chew your corn, guys.
Slow down and chew.
Slow down and chew it. Yeah.
We're not like doggies where you just go. It's
right.
gone.
We used to have a dog whose nickname was Hoover because he would just like go vacuum up the food.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
gone. Is there more?
Yeah. Garlic. Garlic is wonderful. And I tell you all the time, I put garlic in pretty much everything.
Yeah.
They did a study that the higher the a human study found that regular garlic consumption daily,
yes.
Maybe even twice a day if you live at my house, has a huge reduction, almost up to 50% reduction in stroke rate.
No kidding. Plus that, it's
love garlic.
Oh, everybody. Well, I mean, I think everybody loves garlic. If you live at my house, you got to love garlic because
yeah.
I'm going to be cooking with it.
This weekend, though, yeah. that didn't want garlic, and I was looking at them very
puzzled.
Well, okay.
I don't know what I can make
I
for
this?
You.
And his son's going, put it in mine.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. But garlic is also like antimicrobial and antibacterial
it's
too,
really
right?
It's good for you.
It's very good
and
for you.
It's got all kinds of phytochemicals.
And you grow your own?
Wonderful. I do. I just harvest. So now I've got to do another crop.
Fun.
I eat so much of it. Tomatoes.
Nice.
Coffee and green tea. So if you don't like water,
nice.
Do green tea. And if it's hot, do ice green tea. I do that all the time.
Yeah. Do you do it in the sun? Do you make sun tea or how do you do your tea?
I'm just lazy. I boil it and then put the tea bag in and wait for it to get cool.
Okay.
Or throw in ice. I I'm not a big cold person.
Yeah.
Meaning I don't like cold drinks.
Yes.
I'm much more
a warm drink person.
Drink. But do green tea. It's great for you.
Yeah, it's got that EGCG, whatever. I can't ever say it. One of these days, I'm going to look it up and know how to say it.
Yeah, I say I'm going to do that all the time and it never works. You're better at words than I am.
I love the words.
And then, I know, you're a word master. And then coffee. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I got to love your coffee.
Hey, I don't even get out of bed till I've had coffee.
Coffee is stroke preventive or it's stroke helpful? What's the deal with coffee? It's stroke preventive. That's amazing.
And then magnesium-rich foods. You know, we love our beans, our leafy greens, and bananas. But you know what? Banana is not the highest one for potassium and magnesium.
Yeah.
Beans are a great choice and leafy greens because then you're getting a double whammy.
Well, in beans, you're getting... You're getting the protein, you're getting all the micronutrients, and you're getting the fiber. You know, just like beans are such the staple ingredient.
Cheap.
And they're so inexpensive.
They are.
You know, I buy my favorite bean in the world is pinto beans. They're just so pedestrian. They're so basic. And I absolutely adore them. I love them.
We have so many different colors of beans.
It's, yeah.
It's lovely. It is lovely. I even bought black garbanzo beans that are coming tomorrow. I'm excited to see what that's like.
I have some of those. I have not.
Oh,
yeah, I got them a couple, two cycles ago. I got them
from
the truck that we order from.
How pretty would that be with brown rice?
Well, I don't know if it would
tomatoes.
Be pretty. I've been too freaked out to even try them.
I'll make a recipe and show you. I think the colors would be beautiful with tomatoes and green bell pepper and brown rice.
Yeah, ooh, maybe so, yeah. The order's been delayed, though. It's not coming till Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Then, just at the very last bit, what other lifestyles, because that's not what we're all about. We're not just about what you put in your mouth.
Right.
But
it's a good foundation. It's the important thing.
I think it's number one, but I always have to back that up a little bit. Exercise.
Yeah.
And remember, I always talk about you're not exercising to lose weight necessarily.
Right.
You will burn some calories.
Yes.
But you're doing it for other reasons.
Right.
Exercise is good for your heart. It's good for those blood vessels.
Yep.
So we want you to exercise. Weight and loss.
What's the timing on exercises?
Well,
30 minutes a few times a week.
Yeah.
150 minutes a week, something like that.
It depends.
It all adds up.
You know, I just read this lovely article that said our government is saying 30 minutes a day. And you know why they said it?
Why? Because they thought that's how much people would do.
That's what they thought is all people would do.
Yeah.
And I think you and I have always tried to say, start with 30, but could you do an hour?
Right. Yes.
So
could
I
you
think
do
an hour is more optimal. But you have to work up to it.
So right.
We're not saying go out and be this super athlete, but a couple times a day.
Yes.
You know, do 20 minutes, 20 minutes. And if you can get in more, do another 20.
Yes.
And you don't have to be a superhero. Walk.
Right.
Climb your stairs.
Yep.
Set a timer and dance to country music.
Yeah, exactly.
Or rock and roll, one or the other.
Or Alice Cooper.
I like Alice Cooper.
I know you do.
I have a crush on him, and it's such a weird crush for me. If you ever saw me,
so
you'd go
awesome.
Like, Alice what? Cooper.
I know. You just don't look like a hard rocker
she
type.
She looks like a Donny Osmond.
Yes. Yes.
I did like him, too.
Yeah, he was good.
So anyway, weight loss. Get your sleep. 7 to 8 hours a night is really the optimal, and it really does help your body to repair itself. You know, that's when we're repairing our body. That's when we're repairing our mind. Sleep is incredibly important.
Yes.
And then I love this. Be optimistic. Have a positive attitude.
Mindset.
Really feel good about life.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's hard right now, but laugh. Put on a stupid movie.
Yeah.
You know, I love those silly Dumber and Dumber. I mean, oh my gosh,
people
are going to go, who
what?
Is this
Dumb
woman?
And Dumber?
That it makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, do silly things that make you laugh. Get out into nature, and you really will bring back that positive attitude and that love for life.
I love it. I love how you really talked about the number one thing, the firm foundation of moving forward in a glowing lifestyle American diet really starts with your food. But then you add in the exercise, you add in hydration, you add in sleep, and you add in mindset. You know, there really is, this is the new pyramid, right? We used to have the food guide pyramid, right. And this is the new pyramid. This is the GLAD pyramid. This is the lifestyle that helps each of us individually make the changes in our bodies that lead to ultimate, robust, vibrant health and glowing immunity.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Last one.
Yep.
Get your vitamin D.
Go, girl.
Go outside and show off your belly.
Nice.
And get a little bit of sun. And if you can't, take a supplement.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, your B12 is important too.
Well, that's always that and the choline. But you don't have to take a choline pill to
eat
your greens, your beans, your nuts, and kiwan. But for the B12, you do have to take a supplement. And the studies are showing that sublingual is good.
Yeah.
It's probably the best way to absorb it. So.
Wow, Nurse Sherry, I am so thankful for you and for you to come on and be part of the Ocean Mist Power Hour and share all your amazing knowledge and wisdom with our listeners. I can't thank you enough. And so,
thank you. It's so much fun. I'm glad to be here.
Me too. On behalf of all of our listeners and for the folks out in the community, thank you for showing up, for being part of this interesting discussion. We hope you find it fascinating. We surely do. And we'll see you again soon on the Ocean Mist Power Hour.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.